in our house, above the fireplace, on what is known as the mantle, you will notice, anyone who enters will recognize that we are anticipating Christmas. A few weeks ago, we went ahead and decorated the house. And on the mantle, we have a nativity set, which is that kind of the traditional thing. Most people will have a nativity set. And there is Mary and Joseph and the camel and the angel and all sorts of things. But then we also have strung up some Christmas lights. That was even before Thanksgiving, we did that. And the ambiance is there. But more importantly, above the mantle, and something that is more important to my children, is on a string, strung across that mantle, are small brown paper bags, lunch bags, that are clipped on there with clothespins. And on the paper bags are colorful numbers, red and green numbers. And you can see that we have been anticipating Christmas this way, because each day we pull off one of those bags, numbered 1 through 24, and we open it up and we let one of the kids reach in there and pull out a description of the activity for the day. It's the way that we celebrate and anticipate Christmas, our Advent calendar. And we've done all sorts of activities. I mentioned at the 5th of December, 2 weeks ago, how we had just gone to journey to Bethlehem, walked through the nativity scene in Bethlehem. Recently, we've been cutting out paper snowflakes. We've been doing different activities for our Advent calendar. The kids, they made sugar cookies. They decorated them, and they took them over to the elementary school and they shared them. I don't know if some of you elementary students were able to have some hot cocoa and cookies from our kids. I know that there's other families in our church that participate in their own Advent calendar as well. But we do all of this fun stuff. We actually hid some gifts for the academy students to find. That was a lot of fun. The kids themselves have gone to the White Elephant store and picked out gifts for each other. But it's all these great activities as we anticipate Christmas. Soon December 24 will come. And it seems like December 24, the Christmas Eve, is a magical evening. There's always something that takes place. There's just this feeling of eagerness in the air. And I remember as a young kid, it was very difficult to sleep on December 24, because the next day was Christmas. And as the seconds tick by and the minutes roll on into hours and days, we know that Christmas will come. And Christmas comes when the time is right. The whole reason why we celebrate, the whole reason why this world and why this culture anticipates making an effort for Christmas special, is because in another house, at a different time, another place, there was a young mother and a young father expecting something magical. The birth of their firstborn son. And I see the Lenses here today, and I already spoke with them briefly. For it's exciting when you have a newborn. Exciting to see little Grace here as well. And something magical happens. For this young mother and this father, the birth of their son with a capital S came just at the right time. At just the right time. And this is the Christmas story. And this morning I would like to share and look at a verse in the Bible, a passage in the Bible that is not your typical Christmas passage. In this story, in this passage, there are no shepherds. There are no angels. There are no wise men, no manger. But in this passage, this is the Christmas story through Paul's eyes. I'd like for us to look this morning at Galatians chapter 4. In the New Testament, Paul summarizes the meaning of Christmas with a few short verses. Galatians chapter 4, I'll be reading from the New King James Version this morning. Verses 3, beginning with verse 3, Paul continues, and he says, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." So Paul summarizes the Christmas story here, saying that Jesus came when the time was ripe. Jesus came, born of his mother Mary, born to save. And we could say, for such a time as this, he entered the world. When the fullness of time had come, Jesus came. When you think about the history of the world, there have been hundreds of people and leaders who have been born for such a time as this. Born at just the right time. These leaders, they bring a positive change to whatever they're working with. They're military leaders or thought leaders or technology leaders, Reformation leaders. You think of Martin Luther, a monk who didn't really think that church was just rituals and traditions. He didn't want to leave the church that he loved. He wanted to reform the church, but the church kind of kicked him out. But that sparked the Protestant Reformation. Think of George Washington, the first president of the United States, a military leader, a mastermind who was born for such a time as this, as to lead the colonists to defeat the Redcoat Army. Those disciplined soldiers defeated by a bunch of hungry colonists, hungry for freedom. We think of Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, thought leaders, civil rights leaders, who for such a time as this believed that all men and women were created equal. And they broke down the walls of segregation. We think of people like Steve Jobs or Bill Gates, founders of the two largest computer companies in the world, Microsoft and Apple. They were both born in 1955. And some people speculate that for such a time as then, they were able to take advantage of all of the technological advancements as technology was just getting started. They were able to spend the time that they needed programming and learning their craft, that they became the masterminds of modern technology today. And they were in that perfect spot to excel in the computer industry. And the list, we could go on. We could talk about biblical characters as well. Moses was born and raised up to be the leader of God's people out of Egypt. Esther was, for such a time as this, that's where we get that phrase, that she was able to free her Jewish people from Haman and able to speak for the king, King Xerxes. And so when the fullness of time was come, Jesus was born. It was the perfect political time. The world was ripe for the coming deliverer. The people were all under one government. They all spoke one particular language. They had one language that was common for literature. And as all the Jews from all the surrounding areas called the diaspora, as they were every year would come and gather for the Jewish feasts in Jerusalem, it was a perfect occasion for them to be able to share the news of the Messiah. The spiritual pulse of the people was ready. They were tired. The worshipers were tired of ritual and man-made traditions. They wanted light to speak to their heart, something that would satisfy their yearning and their longing for truth. They were ready for someone to fulfill that, the words of the prophet in Isaiah, where Isaiah says that someone is to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to give sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord. They were ready for Christmas morning. And so Jesus came for such a time as this. Jesus came and he redeemed those, as Paul says, redeemed those who were under the law, who were in bondage to their sins. He brought salvation to those who were captured in the elements of the world, and to set them free from a life of slavery to sin. When Joseph had the dream and the angel said, "You are to call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And so Jesus came for Israel of old, and he comes for Israel today, for you and for me. For at just the right time, Jesus, yes, he's always with us, but at just the right time, he makes himself manifest in our lives, gives us hope, gives us salvation, directs our minds to a uplifting promise. At just the right time, Jesus comes into our lives today. You see, we are not the flesh and blood of Israel, whom Jesus came for literally in Bethlehem, but we are spiritual Israel. We are spiritual Israel. We are adopted into his family. As Paul says here in Galatians, he says in verse 4, when the fullness of time had come, Galatians 4, verse 4, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, sons and daughters of God. And John, in his gospel, the first chapter of John's gospel, he reiterates this same sentiment. He says in chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, John says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God." And so as we are part of the family of God, as adopted sons and daughters of God, we are redeemed. We are saved. We have a new name. We are part of the family of God. And this is why Jesus came, so that we could be adopted into his family, part of his family. Each Christmas when I was growing up, our family would shop and buy gifts for one another. We would always go to the mall together, the four of us, my mom, my dad, my sister, and I. And we would split up. I would go with my dad first, and then we'd split up, and I would go with my mom while my sister went with my dad. And we would purchase gifts for the other person. And I always remember, because my dad would always buy the same stuff every single year. It's just different versions of it, okay? He would always buy chocolate-covered cherries. He would always buy a bottle of new perfume. And he would always buy a couple jugs of bubble bath, because my mom just liked bubble bath, okay? And my dad liked making her smell good with perfume. And he wanted to get her something sweet for the chocolate-covered cherries. And then I would go with my mom. And it'd be a variety of things every year, but it seemed like there was always dress socks, maybe a new tie, something else. They're always different, though. But we would buy these gifts for one another. And I never remember what I bought my sister, probably some toy sometimes, or a shirt, who knows, clothes, whatever. I'd always buy my sister something else. But we would buy these gifts for one another, and we would exchange these gifts on Christmas morning as family. That's what families do. They exchange gifts with one another, or they give gifts to someone else. And so as a family, we share gifts. We are adopted into the family of God. Even if someone is adopted into a family today, I pray that they're included and given those gifts as well as part of that family. As we are adopted into God's family, God gives us gifts. He gives us the gift of salvation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave Jesus so that we might have salvation, eternal life. And all of these gifts that God gives are made possible because Jesus came at just the right time. Think of this a little bit further. Yes, God gives us the gifts of salvation, but he also gives us more as we continue walking with the Father. The gifts of the Spirit are poured out and given. And so think about this in your own life. That the gifts that God gives you, the things that he has qualified you with, the characteristics, the talents, the qualities that God has given, maybe he has given them to you for a specific reason. Maybe you and I were born for such a time as this. Maybe. Maybe he has placed you in this location, at this place, with your circle of influence, with your tools, with your abilities, for a particular reason. For such a time as this? And I don't believe this is just happenstance. I don't believe it's just coincidence. But I believe it's divinely orchestrated by God for a specific purpose. There is a specific reason why you are here today and why you have been given the gifts that God has given you. And you think about that and it kind of blows my mind a little bit because it takes the daily mundane tasks of everyday life, the tough things sometimes to keep that schedule, to keep disciplining your kids and parenting your kids. It takes those mundane tasks to a whole new level. To think that God has placed you here at this place and at this time for a specific reason, it enlarges our concept of God's perfect timing. It brings significance to your life and mine. Because you are important to God. You're important to God. He knows your qualities. He knows where you are. He knows why he has put you here. And there's people in your circle of influence who are hurting. And God has given you the gifts and the talents to encourage and support them. There's people in your circle of influence that there may be some who are questioning God's love for them. God has given you the opportunity to be Jesus to them. And there may be some that are discouraged. They're lonely. Well, today God has given you the chance to give them hope and encouragement this Christmas. And so you never know the impact that your life may have on another person. You never know. Our influence could be life-changing to the rest of their history. It could be life-altering. For a man by the name of Sir Roger Bootler, that's exactly what happened. Many years ago, before automobiles, before Pastor Fred was born, many, many years ago, Sir Roger visited a town in New England, the town of Colchester. There was a traveling fair with livestock and all sorts of creatures, and as Sir Roger was making his way around the various pens of the poultry and the animals, the market square clock started to chime the noon chime bell. And he, as sometimes you do when you're hearing the chimes, you count the chimes. And so he counted. 10, 11, 12, in his mind, 13, 13. He thought, hang on, I must have miscounted. And he was thinking that he had miscounted until a gentleman right nearby him had said, the clock just struck 13. And they recognized, yeah, it did. That was weird. And so later that night, Sir Roger wrote it down in his diary. The clock struck 13 in Colchester. 2 months later, Sir Roger wakes up and he feels a strong impression, almost a voice that says, go to York. He's not one to just be a spur-of-the-moment kind of guy, and so he didn't do anything. He just said, I don't know, maybe not. I'm not going to do that. The next morning, the impression was strong again, so he saddled up his horse and he rode up to York. He enters the town of York, and there around the courthouse was a crowd gathering. He asked around and found that it was the final day for a murder trial. So he walks into the courtroom, sits in the public gallery, listens as the guilty verdict is given. And as they lead the man away, the condemned man away, they ask him, is there anything you would like to say? And the man said, all he could say was, I am innocent. I am innocent. I was over 100 miles from the scene of the crime on that day. I was in Colchester. And another man and myself, we heard the clock strike 13. If I could only find that man, he could vouch for my innocence. Sir Roger heard this and immediately he stood up and he says, I know why I am here in York today. And he explained the situation, that he also was there on that night, on that day that the clock struck 13. He showed the diary, went up to the bench and showed the diary to the judge. He always kept his diary with him. And the man was set free because of Sir Roger's testimony. As the two were exiting, the freed man turned towards his benefactor and he says, "You are the only man in the world who could have saved me." Sir Roger was there at the right time for that specific reason. I like to think of Sir Roger as the Christ child. Jesus came at the exact time the world needed him. And he offers salvation and freedom then as well as now. He's present in our lives today. But Jesus makes himself manifest at exactly the time that we need him. Maybe it's the voice of the Holy Spirit that prompts us to do something or to say something. Maybe it's a remembrance of a promise from Scripture or an encouraging word from a friend. But he comes at just the right time. And so today, as we recognize how Jesus came as the promised deliverer in Bethlehem, may we also recognize the salvation that he brings to us. For Christmas always comes on time, and the Christ child always comes for us. Let us pray. Lord God, as we have looked again at the Christmas story, this time in a little bit different of an angle, it's really amazing to see and to think and to speculate how you have placed us here for a specific reason, just the same way you sent Jesus for a specific reason, for a specific time. May we go from this place and may we think about Christmas as giving to others, but not just this season, but the whole year round, where we can be representatives of you, Lord. So I ask for your guidance, for your wisdom, and we're thankful that you sent Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen.